powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
Weird question I kept seeing floating around Twitter over the weekend. Bump, by the way, Bump, how was your weekend?
Yeah, can we...
I missed you.
Can we, like, say hello?
I know.
Goodness gracious.
I just jumped right
into business.
Without even...
Haven't seen this guy in a while. Doesn't matter. Let's talk about sports.
Just, hey, welcome back. I walk in. Stacy, hey. I'm like, what do you want to talk about today? No, Bump, I'm so happy to be back. First of all, I hope that you and all the listeners right now had fun for Dad's Days. Thursday and Friday, I was gone. I hope you didn't mess anything up. I heard stories. Someone let me know you guys were talking about turkey. Apparently,
yeah, we're
talking
about turkey.
You hate turkey.
Can't stand it.
Now, I got here. Nothing was burnt down.
You know what I feel like? So on Wednesday, my wife went to Spokane for a convention, right?
Uh-huh.
3 or 4 days. And when she leaves... I know when she comes back, that house better look good. Like some laundry better be done. Like, this is what it feels like. I'm like, all right, Stacy's back. Did we mess anything up? Like, how's the desk look? I mean, was she listening to our shows? So, yeah, same feeling.
Great. Well, I am sure you guys did a wonderful job. I listened to just a bit of the show, the podcast version. I was getting some work done while I was over in Ellensburg, and it was great. It was very funny. I did hear you guys making fun of me for liking salads. And by the way, I was eating a salad.
See,
I did. I got a Caesar salad over there. It was great.
Know.
I went to this pasta company. I think it's called Ellensburg Pasta Company.
Sounds right.
It was fantastic. But yeah, it's a great time. I was over in Ellensburg at a panel for the youth, helping our youth grow.
There you go. Giving back.
Yeah, it was for this sports panel, Northwest Center for Sports panel that they have. Tim Booth from the AP was also there, and a bunch of other really cool people, but they're like in the business side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So like someone with the athletic department with Michigan and Washington, and someone who works with the San Francisco Giants, and then someone who works in radio. And I felt very out of place because a lot of those kids are looking to go into the business side of sports. So I was like, yeah, let me tell you. They had one moment where they were talking about strategic communication. How do you communicate with people? And I was the only one on the panel where I was like, I got to be honest, I'm on the other end where my producer gives me notes in like size 100 font. So, but it was really, really fun. Shout out Ellensburg. Hadn't been there before. It was a great time.
The Berg.
Also, do you know there are emus there?
Yeah.
Really? You knew that? You already knew that?
Yep.
How did you know that? Who could have known?
I don't know. I went to school in Eastern Washington, so.
Okay.
You know, those
are
Eastern
there,
Washington
are
vibes.
Are there emus in Spokane?
Outside of Pullman. In Colfax, there's emus.
What?
Yeah.
Why? Taylor, did you know this? What? I thought emus only lived in, like, Australia and zoos.
Hey.
Like, I thought they were like lizards. They couldn't, like, survive in this cold weather. But here I am driving down I-90 on my way back to Seattle. Hey, Ellensburg, had a great time. And I turn and I look over my shoulder on the side of the road. 3 emus.
I feel like
I thought I was seeing things.
I feel like you're that commercial where people have to resist when they see horses. Like, oh, horses. Like, that was you like, oh, emu.
That's exactly what it is. It's someone who was born in the city, raised in the city, going, cows. They're goats, Stacy. They're goats. Well, I'm very happy to be back. And we have some good news to talk about. The Seahawks got a win.
Did they?
They did.
Yeah?
They did. I'll tell you why.
All right. I'm confused.
Because the Broncos lost in OT to the Raiders. They're now in last place in the AFC West. The Broncos are. They hold the 5th overall pick. Congratulations, Broncos. Unfortunately, you traded that one to the Seahawks, which leads me to our big question to start the show. Did the Seahawks pull off the biggest NFL trade heist ever?
It's up there. Now, I didn't, when this question was, out there, we're doing our show prep. I started looking at just trades or even like draft picks just to, because you can kind of bundle them all together, decisions that teams made that went horribly wrong.
Costly
and
decision.
These are the things that I came up with. And I saw in 99 when the Saints traded everything for Ricky Williams, first, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh round picks. I'm like, dang, it ain't that bad. But, you know, it ain't looking good. And then the Raiders in 2007, they traded Randy Moss for a 4th round pick. Randy goes over to New England and just balls out. 2013, the Colts acquired Trent Richardson for a 1st round pick, one of the worst ever. 2018, the Bears trade up for Trubisky. And then one that I see that's on your notes here, the Texans swap David Johnson for D. Hopkins. I'm saying it, the Russell deal isn't approaching like the top notch type of heist, but it's in that middle area right now.
Here's where the Russell deal kind of continues to screw Denver up is two things. One, Denver paid him. So you better hope he gets better.
Before he even played.
But you had seen 10 years of this is what makes the entire thing fascinating. You had seen 10 years of play where you were like, he can be a franchise guy. He took this team, you know, to 10 years of success. And he was, along with Bobby Wagner and Pete Carroll, the only constants. Little did you know, maybe that had a little bit more to do with Carroll than it did Wilson. But the other issue, I don't think Hackett stays there. That's not a hot take. I think all of us, right? All of us expect Hackett to be gone at the end of the year.
Yep.
Who wants that job?
Anybody wants that job. That's the thing, is that if you are a position coach, you're a coordinator, like you're going to take whatever job is out there knowing that you're getting into a messed up situation. So, but ideally it should be someone like Sean Payton, someone who is established, who Russ is going to respect. But if you get some new guy, some guy who's never done it before, not a lot of experience, you could probably expect the same results.
Yeah, because there's a power imbalance there where you go in there as a new guy and Russ is going to be like, I'm really excited to see what we can do with this team. Uh-huh. You're like, who is we? I'm the head coach. If you go in there as Sean Payton, hey, Russ, glad you have your own office. Congratulations. Feeling happy for you, my man. But this is my team.
This is how we do it.
I've taken a team to a Super Bowl. I've been a successful coach. I've turned a franchise around. This is my job, not yours.
This is it. If you're Sean Payton, you walk into the building playing Montel Jordan. This is how we do it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a partnership. Y'all messed that up already. You tried that. Now let's do it the traditional way.
Do you think the Seahawks saw this coming?
I definitely think they did.
I did not.
I think they saw it coming.
How do you think they saw it coming? Like, what things do you think they saw now in hindsight to make you think, okay, I think they could have seen this?
They know the player way better than we do, right?
Yes,
they spend facts. During a football season, you spend more time with your team than you do with your actual family. And especially if you're dealing with a quarterback, you're a franchise quarterback, a Pro Bowl, Super Bowl winning type quarterback, you're spending a lot of time with the GM and the head coach and the quarterback coach. So you start to learn the way people think. And it looks like, at least from this point, that Pete Carroll did a great job of allowing Russell to be successful in a way that was conducive to him mentally, right? And keeping him accountable enough to where, like, okay, like, I'll loosen the leash a little bit, but then we got to reel you back in. Remember, was that 2019, 2020, four games? Man, he's throwing for 400 yards, four touchdowns.
Oh, end of 2015, I think.
It was a start. It was the start of the season. So it had to be 2020 when he just started
2020
off on
when fire. He looked like MVP?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah,
he's going out there, boom, boom, boom. Then a couple games happen. And then what does Speed have to do? Step in and say, all right, we've tried that. Let's run the football. So I think the Hawks had an idea of who Russell was. And sometimes the people who know you better than yourself when it comes to certain things. I think that's the situation we're seeing right now.
Well, and then that makes me wonder what else they saw with Russell Wilson. Here's something I always thought of Russell Wilson. I always thought Russell Wilson was a smart player, right? I had no reason from the outside looking in to think that he wasn't when he's been successful for 10 years. You aren't successful in the league for 10 years and you're bad. Like those two things. So you can't fall into success at this level of play. You have to be great at something. And I just assumed, well, he doesn't make a lot of huge mistakes. I mean, he's taken sacks, but God, he's not playing behind a great offensive line. He's thrown some picks lately, but maybe he feels pressure from the defense underperforming. And then lo and behold, you're seeing a bunch of costly mistakes in Denver. Take this one from the other night. Russell Wilson should have taken a sack to eat up the clock and try to keep the Broncos in the lead late into the fourth. What happens? The Raiders come back, they tie it, go to OT, and they win. Here's Russell Wilson explaining his own thought process on 3rd and 10 when he clearly should have taken a sack and instead threw it away.
Yeah.
Excuse me, threw an incompletion.
When we called a pass play, you know, it was 3rd and 10, called a pass play to you know, try to end the game basically right there. We get a first down, the game's over. And then they kind of covered it up pretty good. I kind of get outside the pocket, and then Virgil was coming scrambling down. Thought I had him, and tried to take a shot to him. And the ball just, you know, kind of went away for a little bit. But we got the best defense in the world, and, you know, unfortunately, you know, it didn't work out this time.
What do you hear?
I hear I was just trying to make a play, you know, and end of the day, it didn't work out. But, you know, our defense usually comes through clutch for us, so that didn't work out either. What I would like to hear was, you know, I didn't get it done. I didn't make the right decision.
Yeah.
That's on me. Let's move on.
Yep.
Instead, he just dances around the bushes. Like, look, we all know what we saw, Russ. But, again, That's not something we're not used to either.
Like, yeah. Oh, no. He's not big on individual accountability.
No.
He's big on, like, talking about things to make it sound like accountability without mm-hmm. ever actually making it himself.
No, when it comes to accountability, this is a team sport.
Yeah.
Right? That's
yeah.
like his mentality. It's
for
a team.
Sure.
All of us did it. But
we
when
didn't
it,
do enough.
Yeah, exactly. But when it comes down to individual play, it's like now he's really trying to connect the dots instead of just saying, I should have done this. I should have done that. Man, Russ is married. He knows what's up. You know how many times you say sorry when you're like, all right, I really didn't do nothing, but I'm just going to say sorry.
It's raining outside, Bump.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry,
it's on me. It's on me that it's raining. I will make it stop. Like, you just have to take the L sometimes, even if you truly don't believe it. Russell doesn't do that.
Well, he's been a big part of the L's that they're taking. This team is 3-7 now, Maura? Yeah, 3-7. They've got 3 wins. That's all that matters. They're at the 5th overall pick right now. Up to the 2nd pick, I think, is still in play. If Chicago plays better and, God, there's another team behind or around.
It's the Panthers.
The Panthers. If Chicago and Carolina play better. Like, if the Panthers beat Seattle, it's almost okay for Seattle, because if you win enough other games and you can get there as a wild card, you yeah. also then have a better draft pick because it moves you a little higher at the 5th overall spot. The Broncos are in last place in the AFC West. They're averaging 14 points per game. That is worst in the NFL. And not only that, but you were looking up some stats about the offense, and it's like the worst in like 50 years. And it sounds like us harping
years.
On the Broncos and doing kind of like this victory lap. But what it really is looking back at what Seattle saw and saying, what did they see? Like, how did they figure this out? Did they see this coming? What did other people miss? It's a fascinating conversation.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And we get paid off of this.
That's right.
Like, the Seahawks directly benefit from the demise of the Broncos right now. As a person,
yes.
I wish Russell well. I hope he's mentally strong
yep.
during this time.
Yep.
He's getting bashed. We're talking about him in Seattle. We're questioning all his moves. But we're doing that because he wanted out, mm-hmm. and the Hawks directly benefit from this. So the worst that they do, it's like, all right, man. And then because he's doing bad, we get to nitpick. You know, we get
yeah.
to try to see some things or look back and say, is that what we were seeing? You know, hindsight's a mug, man. 2020.
Well, and let's be real, hindsight's really interesting when you talk to people from Denver, because I went on 104.3 The Fan, which is our sister station in Denver. And
nice flex.
Thank you so much. And they were not having any Russell. And I didn't like Russell slander. I didn't think I was slandering him too badly.
Mm-hmm.
I went over and I was like, he played like a future Hall of Famer at times when he was here. Like, he throws the prettiest deep ball in football. Is he especially relatable or especially likable? Not really. Like, you know what I mean? I felt like I gave like kind of a balanced view of Russell Wilson. Like,
yeah.
here's why people didn't love him, and here's why he stayed here and was successful for 10 years. Like, both these things can be true.
Right.
And they dragged me. They were like, oh, my God. And I wasn't the only one. I am far from the only person. Anyone that had an opinion about Russell Wilson that was bad, Denver was just like, Denver media, like, oh, my God, this person doesn't get it.
This
They're
was
so jealous.
The season
They're
started.
Salty before the season
okay.
started, long
okay.
before the season started. This person's so salty. This city's so salty. All they do is just like talk about Russell Wilson like he's the ex that left them and upgraded. So I'm really, really excited later today to talk to Orlando Franklin of 104.3 The Fan in Denver to figure out what they're saying in Denver now. That's coming up at 11.
Yeah, so. That's going to be fun.
Oh, it's going to be really fun, Bump.
Yeah.
Someone let me know that emus are emus. Are
nah,
they? Someone else, this is really, really sad.
You almost sound, if you go and tell somebody emu, they're going to look at you funny.
Yeah.
Everyone says emu.
No, also, no one cares. They shouldn't be here. what are they doing here? I also saw a swan. I didn't know swans were real.
What? You thought it was some Disney stuff that was made up?
My entire life has been limited to 5 animals, okay? Seagulls,
you make one
crows,
trip past the
dogs.
One trip past the Cascades, you're like, wow.
I was like, wow, nature is real. This is crazy. I just couldn't get.
What
I couldn't
about
get
flamingos?
Over it. I've seen flamingos at the zoo.
Okay,
they're nice.
That would be the one that I think would really blow your mind. But
yeah, no. Flamingos are crazy. They're really because they're pink in real life. It's wild. I worked at the zoo.
Oh my goodness!
When I was out of college, like my first 2 months out of college, I worked at the zoo.
You worked at the zoo.
I
what did you do at the zoo?
You did 4 different things. You sold tickets. okay, at the front where every single person that came up would complain about the prices as if they didn't look at, like, why, you knew that you were coming here. You knew that it was like $20 per person. Like, why are you complaining? Did you not look this up beforehand?
They like, didn't. They thought really they can guilt you into a discount.
They really don't. And then I worked this was the longest day of my life. I would work the carousel. For 8 hours, you work the carousel.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I would work the dino exhibit. And
that had to be the best part.
Yeah.
The dino.
There are so many random things that happen, like multiple times. Hey, a kid dropped a shoe in the penguin exhibit. Like, it's basically like a daycare. It's a great time. Great time. All right, you guys. So we're going to get our guests started with Orlando Franklin joining us at 11 to get back to this conversation. But we have so much to get to. We're going to take a look at how the NFC playoff picture is shaping up. Who's heating up? Who's cooling down? That's coming up at 10:30. We've got Crack and Talk with Andy Eide at 1. So don't worry. We got lots of stuff to get to. We got a little Mariners stuff sprinkled in here as well. Maura Dooley filling in for Curtis Rogers today, who's out on a Thanksgiving holiday with family. Maura, we're so happy to have you. And let's go to Headline Rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline Rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacy.
All right, the Broncos lose 22-16 in overtime to the Raiders. It was the Raiders' sixth straight victory over Denver. What's the real headline?
Look, when it comes to the Broncos, the Raiders aren't their stepdad. They're just the dad that stepped up.
Dang. There's some people out there with some trauma you just mess with right now.
I know.
Man, the Raiders, they own them. They own the Broncos. Season sweep. Beat them in overtime. Russ has a chance to kind of make a play. Doesn't make the play. It's crazy that the Las Vegas Raiders probably looked at the Broncos like, all right, this is our game to get things right, guys. You know, with all the stuff that's going on with the Raiders, they're cash poor. They can't get rid of their coach. You're stuck with a quarterback who's crying at the panel all the time. You paid all this money for this big-time receiver. He finally shows up, and they got a run game going last night. It seems like people just start to fix things when you play against the Broncos for some reason.
Someone saying, okay, Stacy from the Mac and Jack's text line, 253 says, Stacy, I only knew 5 animals before I went to Eastern Washington. Also, Stacy, I worked at a zoo. I just didn't know how many animals lived outside the zoo is what I'm saying. Like, for instance, it's my understanding that there are grizzly bears outside of the zoo, even though there's a grizzly bear at the zoo.
Yeah.
There's allegedly a tiger at the zoo. I've never seen it.
He's never out.
It's my understanding there are tigers places in the world. I didn't realize emus or emus or whatever were wandering around here in Washington
State.
They're
not wandering.
I mean, what are they doing here?
They're living.
I thought that they only lived in like New Zealand and Australia and this weather was too cold for them. And swans, like, I know they're a real animal, but I've never seen one. So are they? I don't know. It's the same thing I feel about Dalmatians. Never seen a Dalmatian before.
You've never seen one?
Never seen a Dalmatian in my life.
Wow.
And I live near Green Lake. I just think it's a little sus is all I'm saying.
253 says that the emu farms they're raised for their meat and that it's good.
Yeah, I'd eat that.
Would you eat it?
I'd eat a lot of things. I'd try that.
Headline Rewrites.
All right, sorry. I got blown away by that.
I'm excited to hear Bump Steak on our next headline.
Washington State's defense dominated in their meeting with Arizona and former quarterback Jaden DeLora with 2 sacks and 4 interceptions in the 31-20 win. What is the real headline?
Jaden DeLora said, we'll see ahead of this one. If only he could see his receivers.
Yep. DeLora, it was personal, he says.
Yeah.
It was personal,
See. You'll see it's personal.
You see that stat sheet is personal, man. You know, at one point I did feel bad for the kid. Because then I realized he's, what, 20 years old?
Yeah, he's
young. He's all this testosterone and full of emotion. And now I look at his coaches and say, you guys aren't prepping him for this moment. Right? When I was at WSU, when I was with the Seahawks, and the CFL, they prep you for moments like, look, you're probably going to be asked this. Let's talk about the direction we want to handle this. What direction do we want to go with this, Jaden? So either they did not prepare him or he just went rogue and said, forget it. I'm going to do me up there, which I can respect. If he just said, forget all the training, I'm just going to go with emotion, then I respect that. But I learned real quickly. We played USC one year. I don't talk a lot of crap. It's not how I played the game. But one game, I was bawling. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to let these dudes have it. I'm talking. And then at the end of the day, we lost.
Ooh.
And there's nothing I can say to him now. Now I'm getting it all back, and I'm like, yeah, we lost. So I learned then and there. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to let my game talk. I don't like that feeling of not being able to back it up. You know what I'm saying? You can have your individual success, but it's a team sport. So Jane's going to learn from this. But you know what? Hey, go Cougs. Cam Moore got it done. Nakia Watson got it done. And it felt good to teach the young man a lesson.
Is part of you glad you didn't play when Twitter was a huge thing?
So glad.
Because Twitter, I think, existed. Like,
it existed, but it wasn't.
But it wasn't like it is now.
It was just popping off.
Where people wouldn't be like, yeah, here's Michael Bumpus, this receiver out of Wazoo, talking trash about USC. Now it's like, you did it, and then people moved on, and you were like, okay, good.
People didn't know what to do with Twitter. It's like, is this thing on? Like, what exactly do I do with Twitter?
Yeah. Who knows? Who even knows anymore?
Headline rewrites.
Jim Bowden reports that the Mariners have checked in on Trey Turner, Colton Wong, Labor Torres, and all the other free agent middle infielders. He adds that DePoto made it clear that their ownership will provide the resources to sign one of the big free agent middle infielders if it makes sense.
Mm. You know, we were kind of hoping they'd throw money around for moves that didn't make sense. So, Bump, this has been a disappointing development on the Mariners free agency front. I was ready to spend $1 billion on Aaron Judge.
$1 billion. Just go get it.
Just everything.
Like, you want these guys to be aggressive, right? You want them to be in the mix. And I'm still holding on to Trey Turner, man. I made a wish upon a star one night, and we got Castillo. Yeah. So I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to say the same prayer at night, and I'm going to say Mariners, please get this done. Spend some money in the right places.
How do you feel when you see Dodgers who are free agents or former Dodgers? Because you know that it potentially weakens the Dodgers, but then makes your other team, because you are of two hearts and two minds.
I'm all for it. I'm all good. Either way, win-win situation for your boy. Dodgers, because thing about the Dodgers is they're going to get better no matter what. Like, they're not going to be stagnant. You can lose a guy. Someone else is going to come in. They're going to be fine. I'm more concerned about the Mariners building up this roster.
God, I am shocked how many people, A, know that emus are around, and B, know of emus personally. Like, a shocking amount of people are like, yeah, my neighbor has one. What?
It's Eastern Washington. Well, maybe Eastern Washington and, like, Northern Washington. I think once you start getting towards the border, you start seeing
more
stuff.
I've seen ducks and geese. I think if I saw, I literally thought I was seeing things. I thought, surely I didn't.
I didn't see that. When I lived in Redmond, I lived in a 6001 apartments.
Yeah.
At Swan Lake. We had two swans that lived on the lake.
I've seeing one in Eastern Washington was the first time I've seen a swan in my life.
It's beautiful, right?
Yeah, it was beautiful. It's like a little storybook princess.
Right.
Okay, hey guys, a little breaking Broncos news from Adam Schefter. After fumbling yet again yesterday, the Broncos have waived running back Melvin Gordon.
Wow. Damn. Well, we're not talking AFC teams here. We'll get back to that in NFL headlines. We're not talking AFC. We are reacting to some of the games from this weekend, though, looking at the NFC playoff picture. Who's heating up? Who's cooling down? And then we're going to talk a little bit about where the Seahawks are fitting in. That's coming up next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Bump and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
All right, taking a look at the NFL-NFC playoff picture before we do very quickly. Maura hit us with some breaking news right before the break from ESPN's Adam Schefter. The Broncos announced they've waived running back Melvin Gordon. And a natural question, well, hey, you know who could always use some running backs? The Seattle Seahawks. Bump, would you add him?
I'd definitely look at him. And I would, because obviously you have Ken Walker, the guy who's going to get 20 to 25 carries. You have your DJ Dallas, good out the backfield, and Travis Homer, good in pass pro. But there's nothing like having just a veteran running back who you don't really expect much from. And the thing about Melvin Gordon, too, is, I mean, you can use him just in the red zone, short yardage. Mm-hmm. It's more about depth, right? And now it's all about how much he wants, though, because the Hawks right now, I believe after this year, they have around $30 million in salary cap. I'm not sure what they're working with now. It has to make sense financially, but at least, I'm going to look at him for sure.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be something if not only do the Seahawks send Russell Wilson in a trade to the Broncos, who flops, but also that they pick up Melvin Gordon, who takes off?
Then he balls out. Man,
I would love it. I would love it. Okay.
Would you?
Yeah. I am still, we talked about it before the trade deadline, about potentially adding at running back and being concerned about that depth. I am still low-key concerned about running back depth. I'm very excited about what Ken Walker's been able to do. I know they have DJ Dallas. I know they have Travis Homer. But, yeah, I'm without Penny, it's still a concern of mine.
Yeah, because you want two backs who are legit or who have been legit starters in this league. Yeah. No knock on DJ. I think he can do it, and I think Travis can do it. But, yeah, the more the better, in my opinion.
Okay. We're going to get back to general NFL news. We've got some in the timeline today, some wild stuff following Zach Wilson's comments after the Jets loss. I don't know if you guys saw this, but you're not going to want to miss it. It's garnering a lot of controversy. Then we're going to get to some other moves around the NFL and NFL headlines. So right now I'm just looking at the NFC playoff picture. Who's heating up and who's cooling down? Let's start with heating up. And I don't know where else you go except the Dallas Cowboys, one of the league's more complete teams. They are looking phenomenal. Not only that, but they demolished the Vikings, who prior to this were tied at 8-1 for the best record in the NFL beside the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll get to the Eagles in a sec, but right now the Cowboys looking like one of the very best teams in the NFC.
Cowboys. So hot right now.
Cowboys looking good. 7-3.
Scared me.
And you got me too.
No more warned me that we would do that, and I still got scared. I get scared over everything. My doorbell rang the other day. It was traumatizing.
Scared. But the Vikings fall to 8-2. And you look at just the box score, man. Minnesota scored 3 points and then got shut out the rest of the game. Dallas goes 10 points in the first, 13 in the second, 14 in the third, 3 in the fourth. Dak Prescott takes care of the ball. 22 of 25, 276, 2 touchdowns. That's a Dak Prescott type of day. And then you have Ezekiel Elliott. Didn't have a lot of yards, but 2 touchdowns there. But the thing about this Dallas defense is that they're really good, man. Mm-hmm. They have probably one of the best defensive lines in this league. They're great at getting after the quarterback. They will cause a lot of havoc. And this is the reason why I've always been hesitant to buy all the way in on Kirk Cousins. 7 times Kirk Cousins was sacked. 7 times and hit 13 times. It was a tough day for this guy. So it seems like the Cowboys are coming along. They're a quiet 7-3, man.
They are. And you pick apart all the individual stats and you realize how complete a team they are. And I think I hadn't been giving them credit because of Dak Prescott's injury, because the offense felt like it was underperforming compared to what you thought, because you just expected that the defense wouldn't be as great as they were. And yet when I was looking up stats for the open about the Denver defense, you know who's now allowing even fewer points than Denver? The Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
They're allowing just, what, like 14, 16 points per game? They are shutting teams down and should probably have an extra win or two. And they are a much deadlier foe than I was expecting. The Seahawks won't face them during the regular season, but assuming the Eagles hang on to that spot atop the NFC, the Dallas Cowboys are who you're going to be fighting with for some of those wild card spots. Let's look at the Vikings a little more on the other side, because I have them cooling down. Candidate number one. Cold, so cold. The Vikings.
Yeah, Vikings are cooling down. They sneak by the Buffalo Bills, right? One of the greatest catches of all time in Justin Jefferson. Then Josh Allen fumbles on the 1-yard line, sends it into overtime. They snuck by the Commanders the week before that, 20-17, and then won by 8 points against the Cardinals. They have found ways just to win ball games, and sometimes it's not going to be pretty. You're going to have to get lucky. That's the NFL. So they've been on a slow descent, but they're still getting these wins. That's why they've been kind of confusing. But they ran into the Cowboys, and they've shown that if you apply pressure, if you put Kirk Cousins under pressure. Now, like you mentioned, Cowboys one of the best defenses in the league. 16.7 points is what they're giving up, first in the league. They're no chumps. It's not like they lost to a team that doesn't have the talent or doesn't have the scheme to get after the quarterback. When you lose 40-3 at home, that's cause for some concern.
Well, and they may even have lost to the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals got back in that game. It ended up being a loss for the Cardinals, but the Vikings have been a team, weirdly like the Eagles, that's just gotten lucky in certain ways. The Eagles have gotten really lucky with takeaways that were leading the league, and it was by no small margin because they were just the luckiest team in terms of recovering fumbles and not fumbling the ball. And the Vikings were one of the lucky teams in terms of just getting back into games with great comebacks late in games and then somehow teams rallying and just not doing enough. Like, it's just, and I always fight you on this one, but after a while, it's like, well, you are your record. So if you're that good for that long, I have another heating up candidate. Do you want to say one first, or do you want me to go with mine?
Go for it.
Okay. Another heating up candidate. Now, this was a controversial pick that Maura and I discussed a little bit, but I have no choice but to say that the Eagles are a heating up candidate. Now, I know that the Eagles just lost to the Washington Commanders last week and only beat the Jeff Saturday-led Colts by 1 point, but Jalen Hurts was all they needed. 18 of 25, 190, a touchdown. He also led the team with 86 yards. It wasn't the best performance, but Bump, you bounce back after a loss with another win. You got to say you're heating up, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't say heating up.
They're not the strongest. My strongest heating up candidate is Dallas.
I would say, yeah, I would agree with that. I would say Philly's just warm, you know, like a couple of days ago or last week, I had to go out to my truck and preheat it because there was ice everywhere, right? And when you get into that thing, it's nice and warm. It's ready to go. I think that's just what the Eagles are. They stumbled last week, and this the NFL teams are going to lose. I think the Eagles are like, because they've had so much success, they were able just to kind of fall back on who they were and get through a game like this, 17-16. Yep. Colts shouldn't even been in the game, but this NFL, there are going to be days like this. So, yeah, I agree with you. I could see the heating up, but I feel like they're just – they're staying in their pocket. They're nice and warm.
All right. Now, I don't know about putting this team in heating up, but I will put the other in cooling down. Another cooling off candidate. Now, they were never really that hot to begin with, but I would say they've gone from being a little lukewarm to freezing. And that is the L.A. Rams sitting at 3-7, fell to the New Orleans Saints at 4-7, 27-20, the final in that one. Stafford ended up leaving the game. Still TBD whether or not he's going to play. Sounds like he's entered concussion protocol, and there's really no easy way to put a timeline on those recoveries. You have Chris Olave, who's been a phenomenal rookie for the Saints, playing really well. But I'm less interested in the NFC South, which is still kind of a battle, and more interested in L.A. being maybe all the way out of it this early.
Yeah, they're done. They're done.
Yeah, cooked.
They haven't won a game since October 16th against the Carolina Panthers. They beat them 24-10. They lose to the 49ers, which you can, all right, we get that. Lost to Tampa Bay. I guess we can get that too. We lost to them as well. You lose to the Cardinals and then the Saints. It's more, again, just about how they're losing and what it looks like and what it feels like. And you no longer have Cooper Kupp. He's been your safety blanket all year. Matt Stafford goes 11 of 18, 159, two touchdowns before he got hurt. So maybe there's a chance for them to do something there. He was having an efficient game. But it just doesn't feel like anything is clicking right now. The thing about the Rams is they always had one side of the ball who can kind of like get you through the storm. Weather the storm. Offense, you know what, we're going to put up a bunch of points and the defense is going to come through clutch at the end. Our defense, keep them in the game. Whereas now you're looking at both sides of the ball and you're like, you know, what's going on there? Bobby Wagner's still having a decent year when you look at his numbers. He had 11 tackles last year. Jalen Ramsey's still considered one of the best corners in the league, but it takes more than one or two players. You need everybody working, and the Rams are being humbled. And let's not ignore, injuries have affected this
team. Yes, true. But I'm with you. It feels like they've gone from like, well, you really never know, it's the Rams, to like, nah, it's just not your year, man.
Nah.
Guys, today's a very important week. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bump, do you know why it's an important week?
Thanksgiving.
No. Maura, do you know why it's an important week?
Apple Cup?
Yes! The Apple Cup this weekend, and our preview starts early. Bump is going to be looking at maybe the two best position groups going head-to-head in this one. We'll react to some of the games from the Pac-12 as well from this weekend. Don't go anywhere. It's Bump and Stacey.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacey.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
It's a big week in Washington State. No, it's not just Thanksgiving, you guys. It's the Apple Cup, and these two teams have been so fun to watch this year. Not so fun at certain points.
I can tell you're ready. You're wearing so much purple and gold right now. Really representing
for
the Huskies.
You know that purple isn't my color. Okay. I wear a lot of neutrals. I would love it if Washington school colors were black, white, and beige, but we can't all have our choices here. But we will be talking about some of the Pac-12 reaction. I'm going to go through a couple matchups, and then we'll look specifically at the Apple Cup. We're going to look at a little bit of an Apple Cup preview every day since we just got 3 days with you guys before the Thanksgiving break. So today we have one specific matchup, and Bump's got the breakdown, but let's start on some of these games. Number 17, Washington, 54-7 win over Colorado. Michael Penix Jr., 19 of 31, 229 and a touchdown, but this one, a big game on the ground. Bump, what'd you see?
I saw the Huskies take care of a team they're supposed to take care of, right? You got Tua Tagovailoa, had 11 for 107 and two touchdowns. You mentioned Michael Penix. What's crazy about this Penix game, he was 19 of 31, 229, one touchdown, and that's a down game for him. Like, right. We're so used to this guy throwing for 340 yards, 400 yards.
I read 19, and I was like, that can't be right.
Like, right?
I'm zoomed out.
I'm Michael Penix. Like, what's going on? But that's how good this team is playing right now. Yes, I'm a Coug, but when it comes to analysis, you got to keep it 100.
That's exactly
like they,
right.
They have figured out a run game, and that's what makes UW so dangerous, because you know that they have the best passer in the country right now, leads the country when it comes to passing yards. Now you got the run game going. It's going to be crazy. Then you look at Roma Dunze only had 2 catches for 17 yards, and he's their leading receiver, and they still found a way to do this. Now, this is the Colorado Buffs.
Yep.
Let's get in perspective.
1-10 right now.
Not a very good ball club, but there are some things that you want to see going into the Apple Cup and possibly a playoff or bowl season that makes you feel good about what you're doing. And big ups to DeBoer, man. The first coach to have more than 8 wins their first year as a UW head coach.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Love that. All right. Moving on to another one here. Your alma mater also won. They beat Arizona, Washington State, 7-4, 31-4-7. Arizona, the Wildcats went in there with revenge on their mind. Jaden Delora, not a big fan of Washington State, it would seem, but unfortunately, it just wasn't his day. He did lead in passing yards, but not a good day for him.
Not a good day. We saw Delora. The thing about Delora that makes him special is being able to extend plays and take risks. And then that's the thing that hurts him as well, is that he will extend a play and make a throw he's not supposed to make. We saw a lot of that. What was good for WSU is they were good on the ground, 161 yards on the ground. I talk about UW and Wazoo. I think when it comes to the Apple Cup, whoever wins a ground game is going to have the advantage in that situation. So it's nice to see Cam Ward rush for 59 in a touchdown, Nikhil Watson 56 in a touchdown, and then Jalen Jenkins, a freshman, who I think people need to get to know as well. So WSU did it with class. That's what I liked about this win, is that, of course, they heard what Jalen Delora was saying about the whole situation.
Oh, we all heard it.
We all heard it, yeah.
Jaden.
It was all over Twitter, all that. And it didn't seem like they bought into that and used that to where their emotions got the best of them and you're getting these personal fouls or whatnot. No, they just went out and played some good football. So, got it done.
I do have two other games I want to get to, but I want to leave you some time for your matchup. So why don't we do the matchups first? And if we've got time, I got USC, UCLA, and then looking at Oregon.
Okay. So the matchup we're going to start off with today is UW's receivers versus WSU's DBs. Now, WSU has the best scoring defense in the pack right now, only allowing about 19 points per game. So that's a plus.
Until this weekend.
This is going to be the biggest test for these guys. I mentioned Odunze, he has 931 yards, 6 touchdowns. McMillan has 890 and 7 touchdowns. And you have Polk with 567 and 5 touchdowns. They're averaging 366 pass yards per game. So we know what these guys are going to want to do. So that's why I look at the secondary, led by Lockett. He has 3 interceptions, had 2 last game. You got Smith Wade with 2. You got Langford with 1, and then you have Armani Marsh with 1 as well. So if you look at these guys individually, you look at just UW's receivers and WSU's DBs, I think you're going to take probably UW's receivers.
I'm not just saying it. That's as a listener of you right now. I'm like, well, yeah, that makes sense,
yeah,
right? But why? Are you telling me I shouldn't?
No. Okay. And you should. But the thing about the pass game is it's contingent on so much stuff, right? The O-line has to protect. The QB has to make the right decisions. And the Washington State defense has to apply pressure. Yeah. So if we're just looking at personnel-wise, then, yeah, I think you got to go with these guys. Even though WSU did a great job against last week against Singer and McMillan and Cowing for the Arizona Wildcats, I think they're probably the second best receiving corps in this league. UW has the best receiving corps in this league, so they're going to have to do some things in the box to apply some pressure. But if we have to check a box, no bias here. 1-on-1, I like UW's receivers over WSU's DBs.
What's WSU? What's Wazoo got to do to take some of that edge out of the game for UW? Well, like, what's going to be a key for, like, how do we stop these receivers?
You just got to be aggressive, man. What receivers don't like, I wouldn't say they don't like it, but it makes them work harder. It's just pressure at the line of scrimmage. Like, you got to make these receivers work as soon as that ball is snapped. If you're just in a soft zone or a soft man and they're able to run 5 or 6 yards down the field before they have to adjust any type of way, that's going to be an advantage for them. But luckily for this WSU defense, this is a good defense. Now, personnel-wise, they might have a couple more guys on that side, but as a team, collectively, this is one of the best defenses in the conference, and that back end does well when you get pressure up front and when they're aggressive. So I think they have to be aggressive at the line of scrimmage, all right, and make these receivers work off the line.
I got to be honest. honest, as a UW alum, I am a little nervous.
Hey, it's the Apple Cup. I'm getting a little bit of a
flashback to last year. Last Thanksgiving was just not a good day for me. Not a good time watching this game. It was tough. It was real tough. By the way, are you on any of the games? Are you on this one? Are you on another one this weekend?
I am working the Apple Cup, so I will be pre-halftime, post, on that sideline. Let's get a Pullman turn up.
All right, don't forget, support Bump. We're going to have kind of a little bit of a preview. Bump's going to have another one tomorrow. We're going to look at two other facets of this game, and we're going to do this every single day leading up to the break. So we got 3 days of Apple Cup previews, but we got to get back to the conversation we were having earlier. We were wondering whether the Hawks pulled off the biggest heist in NFL history, and we have our perspective here in Seattle. But you know what I'm wondering? How are they talking about this trade now in Denver? 104.3's The Fan's Orlando Franklin joining us next.